In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We celebrated the Feast of the Apostles last Tuesday. And as a matter of fact, this Coptic month, we speak about the work of the Apostles, how the Lord handed them the work of the Kingdom of Heaven. And He let them work, He equipped them to work exactly like Him. So the Lord, in His ministry, hired first 12 and then 70. He sent the 12 first to the lost sheep of Israel, and the 70 was sent to every place He was intending to go, giving them the same message, equipping them by His word, miracles, and destiny. So they came back. When they came back, He asked them, when He sent them, He told them, do not carry a staff, don't have a sack, don't have food, don't worry about anything. So when they came back, He told them, how was it? Did you need anything? He said, no, we didn't need anything. So, but they were amazed how the spirits is subject to them. Even the spirits is subject to us. He told them, do not be happy about this. Do not be happy that the devil listened to you and he's cast because of your prayers. But be happy that your names are written in the Kingdom of Heaven. So giving us the aim of our work. But as a matter of fact, after a few days, He took 4 of them into Mount Tabor, and He was transfigured of them. He took the 4. We know them. Peter, Andrew, John, and James. And when they came back, the rest of the apostles said, well, He loves these people more than us. He took them up in the mountain, He saw them things, and they came. They didn't speak about much. And they started indignations among them, saying, who is the best of us? And sometimes we get into this trouble, yeah? We trouble ourselves when we compare ourselves to ourselves. When I compare myself to San Anthony, I find myself this big. When I compare myself to Archangel Michael, I'm nothing. When I face God, I am what? Abraham, when he stood before God and told him, I am dust and ashes. If I compare myself to God, what's the ratio between me and God, the Creator, to the creation? I'm nothing. I beg Him, right? If I stand before God, my only thing, please give me, please, I love you, please accept me. Huh? But when I stand before San Antonio, he is a man like me. I relate to him. But when I see my brothers, hey, I have more money. I have more education. I have more things in life. I have a bigger car than yours. I have a bigger house than yours. I am better than you. Huh? So, and this is doesn't work. The Lord was trying today, the apostles were human, and He was trying to fix a major problem with all of us. Pride. Pride. We are all proud of things that we don't even own. Right? Tell me, do you own your life? Do you own even your hair? The Lord said, you don't have a problem. I think I don't have a problem. Huh? Me too. Why? He said, you have no power to make one hair black and one white. You don't have a power for this. You don't have a power for anything. And the Lord was equipping the disciples the most efficient virtue that we all need. And the disciples, humility. Pride is the reason of all troubles. Pride is the reason of all trouble. Pride got Adam and Eve out of the paradise. Pride got an angel or archangel to become a devil. Right? You know the story? Okay. Pride casts out people from great positions, but humility can gain anyone anything he wants. If I stand before God, and do you remember the story of the Pharisee and the lawyer and the Pharisee? The lawyer said, "I thank you, God, for this and this and this. I don't commit adultery. I don't do this. I'm not like even this man who's standing there." I mean, that was a Pharisee man. But the Pharisee man said, "Well, Lord, I can't open my eyes to you. Have mercy on me. I'm a sinner." So that was justified rather than the other one. Why? Because he humbled himself from that. So God wants to see us going to our nature. God created us pure. That's why God wanted to teach the disciples a lesson. I told them, "Do you think about who's the greatest?" I'll tell you a very practical solution. And he took a kid. Unless you go back to be a kid again, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Kids are weak. Yes, you know why? Kids cannot do anything unless they go to their parents. Once they grow up, they want to make it in their own, right? And grown-ups, they never think like kids. It's bad. But God wants to keep man and human race into the very good nature that He created them at the beginning. God created people clear, clean, humble. That the work of His hand. The work of His hand, perfect. He was perfecting human nature to deal with each other with humility. Once they know the way of the pride, they lost everything. And this is the reason we lose a lot of things in our lives. When the wife said, "I have a high IQ than my husband. He doesn't know anything." And the guy said, "I am the head." And she said, "I'm the neck." And everyone is trying. Kids say, "I know better than my parents. I know English. They don't know much English. They came from Egypt. I was born in America." Everyone is pride about what he got. But what's his pride going to take him to? A lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. And for this reason, God is giving us the mystery of greatness. How to be great? He said, "You want to reach the kingdom of heaven? You have to humble yourself." Humble people, they accept the advice. You know, where you are, when you are in need, and you are in trouble, and you can't do it in your own, you seek help. And when you know you're satisfied and better than anyone, you can't go to this level and ask for help. Then you lose. You lose what you want. So God wants us, when we deal with Him, especially when we deal with God, wants to get everything. God prepared heaven for the believers. And He wants the apostles to taste heaven. He told them, it is not that great that the devil is subject to you. But what is great is you feel, is your names are written in heaven. When my name is written in heaven, I got everything. I got my destiny. Everybody in the world is worried. Every serious person is worried about this. Whoever is not worried about his destiny or where he is going, he is lost in the world and in the eternity as well. Right? So, the first thing the Lord is trying to tell us, and the church and the disciples and everyone, how to humble yourself. Go back to your true nature, the spirit of the children. Children, they believe anything. they believe anything, whatever their parents tell them. They trust anyone who's older than them. They feel safe with their parents, with their guidance. Huh? This is the nature that God created all mankind. This, have trust in God. When we grow up, we said, God, some people, they stand before God and pray like this. God, I want this, but I know I'm not good. You're not giving me this. So someone lost everything in front of God and the name, and he's praying, but he's losing everything. He doesn't know how to speak with God. God, one woman came to him one time. She's a Phoenician, Lebanese. She's not Israelite. She doesn't believe in God. She lives far away from God. And she heard about him, and she asked him to heal her daughter. And then he told her, "Do you have faith? Do you have faith?" And she looked at him and said a perfect word, "God, help my weakness. I have faith, but I'm weak. Help my faith." We all have faith in degrees, but sometimes our faith is not good enough to reach what we want, to trust in God from our hearts, the fullness of our hearts. We lose everything. And the name we're praying. We are in the church. We come, we pray, we do everything we want, but we lose everything by being here. Why not? This is the time, this is the place, this is the media. You can get anything you want, but you don't know how to use the word, the words. You don't know how to get whatever from God. God is so easy, but he hates pride. He knows how people fall down. How people fall down. How they get lost when they have pride. When they have pride. This person is not, I cannot talk to him. I cannot get advice from him. And then the person fall like an autumn leaves. Being humble, being in trust with God. Second thing, the Lord got a child. We don't know what kind of child. We know this child is his son, Polycarpus, the disciple of St. John. The history tells us about this. He was an amazing saint as well. And he said, whoever accepts a child in my name. We have a problem now of accepting each other. Right? This family is not my level to talk to. This person is black, this person is white. This person is from my hometown. This person is Saidi like me. Huh? This person is... So I speak with only people who are intellectual. I hate people. By the way, sorry for the word hate. It's not in our vocabulary. Okay, but sometimes we fail to say it. Accepting each other, accepting the sinners. Sometimes those people they live in a miserable life. They're not. I don't talk to them. These people they need it. Oh, these people when they meet me, they want money, they want help, they want service. Accepting each other. By this way, we gain credit in heaven. Because if we help, we'll be helped. If we help, and even if we don't take reward, God is rewarding those who help each other. So accepting each other. The Lord, he said, as the people came to him, he accepted them. And he started leveling with them. Answering their questions. Seeing their needs. Fulfilling what they want, giving them what they want. Sometimes all the people would like to have is just a simple smile. Simple smile. I remember one of my friends came from Egypt here a long time ago. Maybe I mentioned this before. And things were bad. He was by himself, and he had a lot of immigration problem, work problem, money problem, of course. He has all of those problems. And one day, he decided to go and kill himself. Commit suicide. So, as he was going out of his house, at the corner of his where he lives, there is a church. I don't know what kind of church. He said, I think it's a Catholic church. But as he was passing, the priest was going out of the church. And the priest told him, "Hi, how are you?" with a smile. And this person told me, "I felt that the peace of God came to me. And instead of going, taking the bus and going to the ocean and throw myself in the ocean, I went to my house. I prayed. I felt the peace of God. And my whole life has changed." Even though he didn't speak to that priest, but just that priest smiled to him. How accepting each other. That's why from the early church, they said, let the people sit after church and eat. By the way, the liturgy wasn't, the early liturgies that was performed in the days of the apostles and the first century, they used to break the bread first, sit down and remember what the Lord said and eat a rabbi. And then they drink the blood. But things changed. The rabbi came at the end instead of the middle. So they didn't have the Bible written in them. It wasn't recorded. And they used to sit with each other and remember. And that's why this word comes. Do this in remembrance of me. Remembering is keeping the memory and what the Lord said. Like what I'm doing now. I'm trying to break down the words of the Lord. We remember what he did and what he meant. So they used to sit with each other in hours. And since the rabbi came after church, the meal of love, people sit with each other. They don't have to know who's richer, who's poorer, who's in need, who doesn't have. But they sit with each other in total love. And share words, share experiences, share the lovely Christ we know him. Share Christ, who brought us unto this hour, who gave us those gifts, who made us his people, who gathered us together in his holy name to glorify him and to forget about the world and live in heaven. And find destiny. Finally, the reason of being great or reaching out heaven is knowing the standard of Christ, setting an example. He said, "Woe to the world of the offenses! Offenses must come." So people, they look at each other. "Oh, you lie. Oh, you steal. This person is lying. This person," and we label people. "This person, I hate this person. He talks too much. This one, he does this, he does this." And offenses must come. But some people, they don't look at offenses. They look at the gifts, what God gives each other. Okay? Sometimes when we live with each other, the last person I praise is my wife. The last thing I praise is my kids. I live with them. Although I'm providing. And then the kids can, "Dad, we want this. I'm giving you everything." But there is no words that express this. From time to time, we have to express the good things of the people. The gifts they are having. Why my wife is making me food? She's not a slave to make me food. Huh? She's not. But I have to appreciate this. I have to see what the good things the people are doing and appreciate this in them. Someone who speaks nicely, someone I met, someone I see, someone I deal with them. And before each other, before our own kids, we We have to set ourselves an example. No bad word that goes out of my mouth. No bad thought that should steal my innocence. I have to look at good example. Sometimes people, they look at many people. I asked this question for a girl in my church, 10 years, maybe 15 years ago. She loved those group that was coming new in sync or something. You don't have to take these children. I love them. They are good people. They are trying to make it. And after a few years, I said, how are those people? Said, they turn out to be bad. I don't know. How they get good things in them? So the people around, what kind of media they are working with? Drugs? Money? Do you expect people to be good at this environment? Those people are far away from God. Setting an example, focusing on Christ, the Lord, the perfect picture. Christ, who inviting us all to come to Him and take and learn. Learn of me, for I'm humble. You want to learn humility? Don't take it from people. Take it from the source. Look at Christ. Look at Jesus, how He was humble. And even if you humble yourself, you will find someone behind you. He will tell you, still someone, you have to stay in the back. One of the saints said this, if you take the last seat, turn in the back, you will find Christ standing behind you, because you can't do like what He did. And when He wanted to purify the church, He washed the feet of His disciples. Where we can find a master today or a teacher is trying to. We don't find this. But the church gave us this example that the patriarch, the bishop, the priest, the head of the church, bow down and wash the feet on as Christ did thing. And we say that the ministry of the church is washing the feet. Christ came and gave us an example how to be humble. How to humble ourselves. You will find rest. People are in trouble because of their pride. People are insane because of their souls and pride and the pride of their souls. But people are in peace when they humble themselves, when they accept each other, when they look for the nature that Christ created them at. And when they look at the perfect example and learn, as I told you, if I look at Christ, I can't say than more than our father Abraham said, I tried to speak to you, and I am ash and dust. I can't say more than this. I am a new creation. May God, who directed the church into the perfection of humility, perfection of work, help us all to gain our humility and to come closer to Him, be a good land that the seed of the word, the seed of God, His word, have a place in our hearts. For Him is the glory forever. Amen.